I basically had a sleepless night and was looking for a project and decided I'd do some Googling. And Googled the word knitting because it's something I do as a hobby. And I came up with the Guinness Book of Records for the largest knitted blanket. And I thought, that's what I'll do. So I entered, as one does, without thinking. And went back to bed. And it was the next morning when I actually took on board what I had done. But I figured something that could be done, you know. And decided on the Red Cross because I had seen their work when there was an earthquake in Italy. And I was thinking that the blankets that they had were quite small. You really need a bigger blanket to wrap around a body, you know. I know they're thermal blankets and they're better than anything else, but I think for comfort and coziness, you know. So anyway, I was knitting for about a week or so, and I was thinking I have a long way to go. And while my family might be kind and do the odd square, I didn't think they'd do 60,000, which is what I'd need. So I hit the internet again, and I Googled knitting groups. And I got about 20 hits on that. So I sent them all a little invitation to take part. And the response was fantastic. I've got squares now from all over the globe, from the 5 continents, which I didn't expect. But the first squares I got actually came from South Africa. And they came from people who took part in the Nelson Mandela attempt to break the record. And they actually hold the record at the moment. So the deal is, when I break the record, they're going to try break it. And I've got to send squares to them.
That's a good deal, isn't it? And I mean, I suppose when they send the blankets to you as well, they'll be in with this record as well. They'll be in on this record.
That's right. So they're taking part in both. But I find it very strange, the response I've gotten from all over the world, from people from all walks of life. And even some gentlemen have knit squares and sent them. Well, what else can I say? It's still going over 12 months later, and I'm 2/3 of the way there.
Is there a cut-off period, or can you keep going for as long as you need to get all your squares?
I can keep going until I actually break the record. And I'm just hoping that there isn't somebody in some other part of the world doing the very same thing and they're going to pip me at the post. But with the amount of administration involved, I don't think there's another idiot like me out there.
what did your friends and family think when you said this is what you're up to?
Initial reaction, honest reaction. Are you mad? What would you want to do something like that for? I said, well, I just wanted something to do, you know. But they were right. I probably am a little bit mad to have done it. Would I do it again? I think I would. Because I've met fantastic people. And one of the groups that has contributed blankets are the women in Docus in Mountjoy Jail. And I was there in November, and we've presented with 5 blankets that the women have knit, and they're going on to knit some more. And the governor of the prison said that it was something that probably could be picked up in the other prisons in Ireland. So I'm waiting to hear back there.
Yeah. Because, I mean, it's a nice project to feel that you're part of something bigger, you know, something that's going to be a world record.
Well, I think it was great that these women could have such compassion for other people, considering the place they are in life at the moment. And they were only too delighted to do it. I was really impressed with them. And they actually gave me a gift while I was there. And they made me a little angel, which sat on the top of my Christmas tree. And she'll be on top of the Christmas tree for as long as I have Christmas trees anyway. But it was an interesting time. And I'd say I will be going back again to collect more squares from them. you know. But I think it's great that they have the facility there, and the Red Cross actually backs that, and they go in there as volunteers and do the knitting with the women. But I did read a couple of their interviews, and one of the ladies said that when she would be going back to her cell, she'd be just dreading going into the cell, and it seems they're in the cells for quite a few hours during the day. But she said now she goes back and she has her knitting and she sits and she's quite happy. She says she doesn't feel the time going. And so that was really nice to hear, you know.
Yeah, and you're mentioning the Red Cross there as well. I mean, how did the Red Cross respond when you said to them that you were going to give them this great abundance of blankets?
Well, I think they might have just thought, okay, here's 600 blankets. I'm sure we will find a use for them. And they have been great. They've actually given me the loan of their premises down in Ennis, where we store the blankets and where we do the stitching up. I've got a great crew of women who come in 3 mornings a week. Even in the bad weather, I couldn't cancel. Oh no, we're ready, you know. So I have to be there. And we do the stitching up there. And we have one room nearly full. We'll be moving into another one shortly, I'd say. I know when I started this, I didn't even think of how big it was going to be. And where was I going to put all these squares, or where was I going to put the blankets until they were ready to be measured? I don't actually think logically when I get an idea. I just go with it. And it just so happened the Red Cross came on board, and the treasurer, James Lafferty, he said, look, we have premises here and they're only used at night for, you know, training, and you can use it during the day. So that's where we are. And I know that we will be continuing, maybe not this type of work again, but the women want to keep the group together. And so we have to come up with another project now when the blanket is finished. Otherwise, I think they might lynch me, you know.
They've gotten attached to it now, you know. But I mean, the stories as well must be coming in, like with different blankets and, you know, some people knitting in different styles or knitting with different ideas. So, you know, just the different people that are contributing to it. I mean, there must be an awful lot of stories behind that.
It's unbelievable the difference in the knitting techniques. And we received some squares from Wales from a nursing home there. Tycock Nursing Home, I'm probably not pronouncing it right, but one lady knit a square with the Welsh dragon in it, and it was just unbelievable. So what we did was we got every red and white square we could find, and we built a blanket around it. So when we get something unusual, we try to build around it. I had a delivery there before Christmas from a place called Hope in British Columbia. And they sent 6 squares. One of them was the bear, another was the eagle, and then the other 4 spelt out Hope, the name of their town. And this is a very, very small town in British Columbia. And then a lady in South Africa did the most magnificent, magnificent squares. They looked like they had leaves on. They were 3D. And then you get the ones from Finland, beautifully done in Fair Isle. Ecuador was quite surprising because it was really Aztec-y type squares we got from there. And a lady from Japan sent squares, and hers were done in, if we could get somebody to decipher it, it's Japanese writing. And there are people all over the world who have met up through it. They are either corresponding online now, or they're meeting, they have started knitting groups. And it's grown much bigger than I never expected half of these things to happen.
It sounds like it's turning into a community.
It is, yeah. We kind of refer to ourselves as the Knitting Nutters. And the ladies I refer in Ennis, Maureen and Nora and Teresa and Bernie. They're there 3 mornings a week, and they're my stitcher uppers. And without them now, I'd be absolutely lost. At the moment, I think we've up to 400 blankets now stitched. And next week, we've roped in a few of the husbands to help with the rolling, because they have to be rolled onto cardboard cylinders for easy transport of them to the measuring out place, which we have not located yet.
That'll be a whole other bit of fun, won't it? Listen, I mean, if people wanted to get involved as well, anyone listening wanted to knit a square, I mean, you know, they might be a bit intimidated by some of the expertise that people have. I mean, do the squares have to have a particular pattern or, you know, a particular type? Or tell me what's needed for a square.
2 needles and a ball of wool. And I'm not being smart. It doesn't matter what it looks like. Garter stitch is great. And while I say 6 inches, approximately 6 inches, we won't send any of them home. Everyone will be used. The ladies in Kildare town who yarn bombed their town in July rang and asked if their knitting would be any good. We have received all shapes and sizes from them, but we laid them out like a jigsaw puzzle and stitched them together. And they turn into beautiful blankets. So it doesn't matter what your square looks like, you know, we'll be more than happy to have it. I am desperate at this moment in time. You know, I really, really would love to reach the target by March. I need a holiday, you know, so if we could do it by March, I'd be really delighted. I need around 17,000 more squares. And if anyone is interested, it's on Facebook and it's called the Largest Knitted Blanket Record Breaking Attempt. Quite easy to find, and you'll get all the details there. And if you don't feel like scrolling through to find details, you can message me on that site and I'll get back to you immediately.